जयं विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुवाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम समो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरी भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय बहुदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानविरांतस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं तदादिस्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं हृद्वाधान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेशगोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसृते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वासुदेवो नमो नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्ददेवकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिनां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवति अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वा मनसं ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय वत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रनेत्रैकबाणै ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुर्गा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतडाजयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामाभिकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशव पराशल्यवजसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेवीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्कुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मावरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैक्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्तीयं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यां नं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द So, this 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yogam, if you go back into the 9th chapter where Krishna spoke about the Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, Krishna said that the Vedam spoke in the form of karmam, upasana and jnanam. The same system Krishna followed in the Bhagavad Gita also. Karmam, upasana, jnanam. Karmam, bhakti, jnanam. In that way. And the 9th chapter we saw, it is the heart of Bhagavad Gita in the sense that it is right in the middle. And where he explained what bhakti means, he's saying that sharanagati or surrender to Krishna is the most important thing. And the goal of that is ananyaschindayam dhomam yajanam parivasade tesham nityavayuktanam yogakshemam mahamiham. Able to being dependent on Krishna, completely, totally dependent, and they understand the what yogakshemam means. When we say Krishna take care of the devotees, what that means is referring to this verse, ananyaschindayandoma. And they recognize what this power of yogakshema means. Yogakshema, how Krishna cares for the devotees. Yeah. So there are many situations. Ajari Swami mentions about in Shivanand Lahari also this yogakshema. What yogakshema means? Yogakshema durandarasya sagara shraya pradayogino drishta drishta madoba desha kritino bahi andare vyabina sarvajnyasya dayakarasya bhavada kim vedidavyam maya shambho tvam paramandaranga itime chitte smaranyanyuham. So he is saying here that who is Krishna? Yogakshema Durandhara. Krishna is saying, I'll take care of the devotee. I will take care of the devotee. And I'm ready for that. But sometimes, Krishna may give a little sufferings and difficulties in life. Distress. The purpose of all that is, he should not stay attached to this world, which is called prayasa. Prayasa means our material happiness in this world, living a comfortable life in this world. Krishna doesn't want the devotee to feel comfortable, basically. Because if we get comfortable, our desire for getting out of this cycle of birth and death will go. We'll get attached to the body and bodily comfort. So the person who has come to spiritual life, to keep him in the spiritual path, Krishna will make sure that he has to have some difficulties in life. Otherwise, it's very easy to forget Krishna when life becomes very comfortable. So, that means prayasa. Prayasa means to be comfortable in this world. Krishna doesn't want that to be our goal. Rather, it should be shreyasa, not prayasa, right? So, in order that we don't hold on to this world, stick to this world, and develop shreyasa, nature of shreyasa, present inside as the Atma, Antaryami inside, and he will operate from that position as the Antaryami, and also present in the other's heart as Antaryami in them as well. So that is what he is saying. Sarvajnyasya dayagarasya bhavada kim vedidavyam maya. That he is sarvajnya. He knows everything what goes on in this creation with everybody. And his mercy is Suryupam itself is mercy. That means if he decided to pick up someone from this world out, to take him out, he will go all the way out to help him to come out from here, from this situation, right? So So Acharya Swamiji mentions there that what do I have to say to you, because you know more than anybody else my situation. And Krishna is present within my heart, I will remember that. And that is why Krishna is reminding us, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati, right? If you have that memory, that point, all the time, that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati is present within our heart as Sandaryami all the time, then Krishna is saying, in that situation, Yogakshemam will work. Yogakshemam will take care of rest of it, he says. So, and that is why he said, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sanam Prapsisi Shashvatam. So, that Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yogam, the last chapter, Krishna says there that it is a secret. Rajaguhyam, he says. What Rajaguhyam means? Royal secret. And Krishna says like that, royal secret, right? And what is that secret? And that you won't know till you practice it. That's the way it is. By speaking about it, we may not understand. We won't understand actually. Only when you practice this, what Krishna spoke in that, that Ananis Chindayandomam Yajanam Parivasade Tasham Nitya Bhiktanam Yogakshemam Mahamiham. Only when you practice that, Krishna is saying that, you will understand what that secret is. Yeah. So, and you, even if you read so many books, you won't understand that till we practice that principle what Krishna has spoken, right? And you won't know otherwise. That is why it's called an open secret. And even if you explain that to someone, you won't understand what that means. So that is why great personalities, devotees who have total surrender to Krishna, they have given up everything and totally dependent on Krishna, they walk away from everything in this world, all comforts in this world, right? So if you want to experience that yogakshema shakti, Krishna's yogakshemam directly, if you want to do that, what Narada Maharshi is saying is, anyashrayanam tyagaha. You have to become completely free from dependent on anything else in this world. Completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. And all other ashrayam, shelter, like money, family, home, all that things have to be handed over to Krishna. That you have to become free from that, right? Only then one will understand the meaning of that verse. Ananishchindayandoma. What ashrayam means. Ashrayam is in the Bhagavad Gita, ashrayam is in the Bhagavatam also. 12th canto is ashrayam. Right? So, when you are dependent on others to live in this world, and you are staying in that state, depending on others and depending on others' help, surrender is not complete. So, in that situation, what ashrayam, we won't understand the word ashrayam. We won't understand, right? So, but to come to this point that all the time, Krishna is the shelter and Krishna is the ashrayam, we are not able to know that when we are situated in this situation, in the way we are now. Dependent on home, dependent on the family, dependent on our money, bank balance, and various other things, whatever we have around us, right? So, when you are taking shelter of all these things, it's difficult to know what Bhagavad Ashrayam means. Ashrayam means, right? Yeah. So, because what happens is, when we have difficulty, we will look into another person, or to our money in the bank, or something like that. There's always shelter in all these things, in some level, and we'll turn around that. And that is why in the Bhagavadam, gopis have said this. Padisudanyoye bhradru bandhava, gadi bilangindi achyuda gadaha, gada ustavo gita mohida, kita yoshida kaste jen nishi. Gopiya gita, you'll find this verse. right? So they are saying, Parisudanyoye Bhadra Bandhava, we have given up our dependence on husband, our children, our relations, Parisudanyoye Bhadra Bandhava, Adi Ilangiri Achyudagadaha, and we are taken completely shelter of you, and we have come to you. That's how gopis have put it to Krishna. When they surrendered, that's how their surrender was. All connections broken, husband, wife, they walked away from home like that and came to Krishna. And Krishna accepted that surrender. Yeah. So, this giving up is a big thing in life. And that's not easy. People who have done that, they were great personalities whom Krishna has protected them. And that is how the history shows in all the great devotees' life. The fact is that even if we don't give it up anything, one day they will leave us, whether we like it or not. One day, even if we don't give it up, they will leave us. So, that Bhartrihari also says in the Vairagya Shatakam, right? And only thing is, when they leave us, it's very painful. When everything leaves us, it's very painful, right? But when we leave them, and it ends up in happiness when we leave them. That connection is broken, right? But whatever it may be, at the end of the day, everything will go. We will also leave, either we will leave or they will leave us. It will happen. But when they leave us, it is very painful. And but if we leave this attachment inside, within us, then we will come to a large extent, not just saying, but in practice, if the attachment is given up, then there is a possibility nisangatvam will come to him. Salsangatvam, nisangatvam. Nisangatvam, namohatvam. So nisangatvam is important. Nisangatvam means giving up attachment inside completely. So, if that nisangata comes, then also there will be anandam, happiness, right? Satisfaction. What they call, another word is nirvrithi. A kind of fulfillment comes inside. That connection is gone. That is finished now. Attachment is over with that. Yeah. So, so to understand this Mahima, Krishna's Mahima, or the or Bhagavad Ashrayam, the dependence on Krishna and its glories, or the power of this Yogakshemam, Krishna's Yogakshema Shakti, its Vaibhavam, and that Krishna called it as the royal secret. And that verse is that chapter actually. Ananishindayan, to get us that point, to make us aware that total dependence on Krishna all the time and not dependent on anything else in this world, that is the royal secret Krishna is talking about in the 9th chapter. So, he said that, he also mentioned another things, that when we do sadhana in life, our main goal is to change ourselves. That's the purpose of the sadhana. Not to save the world. To change ourselves. Our problems. Right? Because we have a lot of problems within ourselves. We have problems in our mind. We have problems in the body. And no amount of whatever we may think about ourselves, how good I am, and I am living a good life, and things like that. I also know that my own swabhavam is not right. I have vasanas inside, and my swabhavam itself requires changing, needs to be changed, right? And I may have many deficiencies in me, in my swabhavam, in my prakriti, in my dealings with others, in my disciplined life, everywhere, in all aspects. In body I may have weaknesses, I may have shortcomings. Same thing with the mind, buddhi, everywhere. There is deficiencies in every one of us, in different levels, of course. So, how can that be changed? And it is like this, if I am sick, what do? I have to go to the doctor. And I can't say that when I am perfect, then I'll go to the doctor, and then you don't need to go to the doctor. So in the same way, you are handing over all these problems to the doctor, to your physical conditions, whatever it may be, right? Just like when you go for a surgery, you sign a paper, isn't it? You are accepting all the results, whatever things may go wrong, right? So even if the surgeon makes some mistakes in the operation, you can't file a case against him because of you already gave in writing that you are accepting whatever comes out, right? But sometimes people file a case even if they've signed the paper, but that's another side. So there are so many rules like this, and when we go for a surgery, how you sign that letter and give it to the hospital, that if anything happens, I'm responsible. You're not responsible. I'll take the responsibility, right? So that way we do that. In the same way, Krishna is saying also, when you hand over yourself to me, it has to be unconditional. Like the way you go to the hospital and sign the paper before the surgery. Krishna also expects the same thing from us. You can't do business with me, Krishna says. You come to me, you surrender first. And surrender is the key factor. And that is the 9th chapter all about. And that is the royal secret. That surrender side of it. Yeah? Unconditional surrender, in other words. Whatever situation you are here now in this world, surrender in that state. Surrender doesn't mean that you run away from everything. Whichever situation Krishna has put us in, accepting that Krishna is taking care of me and able to live under his protection all the time, right? Whatever situation we are in that situation surrender there itself, right? Then, and that is why Krishna said that again, Abhijet Sudhiracharam, Bhajadevam Anyaha, Sadhureva Samandavya, Samyag Vyavasidohisa. And so he said that you may be, because everybody is in different situations in life. Our acharya may be different. Some people will have a good acharya. Some people have very bad acharya. Acharya means the rules and regulations what they follow in life. Yeah. So Krishna is saying, Abhijet Sudhiracharya. He is not only Duryachari, he is Sudhiracharya. Extremely bad habits he has got. Yeah. He hasn't developed any good discipline in life. He eats what he wants, he sleeps when he likes, and he has got illicit relationships with others and all kinds of things. They are all Sudhiracharam it is. But the people are at different levels. Different people are at different levels. So Sudhiracharam means the worst case. Krishna is saying, Abhijet Sudhiracharam. Bhajadema Mananiva. But if he has surrendered to me, even in his whatever state he is, what I'm saying is, we are also in a different states, all of us. But whichever state we are, at that state you surrender to him. Abhijet Sudhiracharo Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhag. That is a surrender. Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vyavasidohisa. Krishna says, I consider him as a sadhu. Why? Because he has surrendered. That's a qualification. Because he has surrendered, Krishna says, you are a sadhu. Yeah, you are a sadhu. And then he said, that person, very quickly, kshipram bhavati dharmatma, shashat shantim nikachari, kaundaya pratijanihi, nami bhakta pranashari. That is the guarantee card. Krishna's guarantee is that. Yeah. So, no matter how bad we are, how badly trained we are, or how bad we are, how poor we are in our discipline in life, in the body, mind, senses, everything, whatever it may be. Krishna says, you surrender in whichever state you are. It doesn't matter. Not that you have to become perfect and then surrender. You surrender wherever you are, in whatever state it is, right? And then Sharanagati happens. And that ashrayam, that Sharanagati, which is called Bhagavad Ashrayam, will invoke him to take Krishna's shelter for purification, to get himself purified. He is invoking Krishna's mercy to purify himself, not depending on himself. He is looking for Krishna to purify him. Because Antaryami inside can purify us, and he only can purify us. It's not because of our sadhana we get purified. It is due to the surrender you get purified. Not because of sadhana. Sadhana, so you can do, so many people are doing sadhana. But purification comes from the surrender. Surrender is the key factor, right? So handing over to Krishna like that, and if you do that surrender, Sharanagati, in whichever conditions we are, that's why those two verses important. First he said that Abhijet Sudhiracharam Bhajadema Ananyabhak Sadhureva Samandavya Samyang Vyavasido Hisa. First condition. First he said. Then he said, if you had surrendered, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmalma, very quickly you will get purified because you have surrendered. And I will do whatever is necessary to purify you and change your sabhav from inside. Shashu Chandin Migachari. And then he guaranteed, Kaunteya Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranachari. My devotee will never perish. My devotee will always come out successfully at the end. Krishna said all that, right? So that is the principle in the 9th chapter, right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has spoken that. So, Krishna knows that we require purification, and we are not capable of doing that on our own. We need the help. Like in the olden days, now it is different. Things have changed. In the olden days, the mother will bathe the child with something rough on the body, rubs very hard on the body. And because child will go to the mud and play with everything, and the whole body will get so dirty that he needs to be cleaned well, and they will use some coconut shell and things like that to rub on the body. Because there was no things like today, what all high technology brushes and all that didn't exist. The village people, that is how they cleaned. With the village, what's available from the plants, trees and things like that. Everything came from the plants. For rubbing the body, earth was used for cleaning the body. Earth was used for cleaning the body. There was no talcum soap and all that what we have now. How now it's a huge industry running on that, isn't it? So I'm saying that mothers used to do that. So the important point to realize here is, in a similar way, when Krishna wants to purify us from our bad habits and bad vasanas inside, if Krishna takes control of us, then his kripa shakti, that mercy, will keep coming, and that will purify the jiva. The jiva will get purified automatically by that mercy alone. Everything will change, our habits will change, our goal of life will change, our attachment to the world will go. In different ways, whatever purification is necessary, gradually our consciousness will change. And that is the purification. That is what Krishna says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmalma. In other words, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmalma, very quickly it will happen, Krishna says, because even if you do sadhana, you are not going to make it. By doing sadhana, you are not going to make it, right? And I will also do the sadhana through the devotees, Krishna says. That what sadhana is required, right? So, and the devotee will know that. He will also know that he is experiencing Krishna's purification going on inside. And he realizes that he didn't even do the sadhana himself, right? And on the other hand, Krishna has done the sadhana through him. The devotee has to get interested in sadhana first. And then he has to become steady in the sadhana. All these things, Antaryami has to control from inside. Because otherwise, our mind is like this today. If we fall into the trap of the mind, then you cannot do sadhana. You will do sadhana one day, then the mind will say to you, why waste time? Why don't sleep a few hours more or enjoy life? And then you say, oh, I don't have the mood to do the sadhana today. So I'll do it when the mood comes. You cannot do sadhana based on the mood. Sadhana has to be done on every day. So then the devotee realizes that he is not strong himself to do it, but Antaryami inside is dictating him, pushing him to do it, right? And that forced him to do the chanting, the japam, dhyanam, bhakti, everything he did on that basis, right? So Krishna is saying that when that happens, shashat shantim nigachari. That shanti, what does shanti mean? Shanti is the greatest relief from everything, right? What is that relief? A great relief inside feeling. When do they feel that relief? When the ahankaram goes away. When the ego inside us gives way. It goes away from inside, right? So, otherwise, whatever sadhana you do mechanically on your effort, right? And you think that you have done the sadhana so you are pure, but still you will start feeling that I have become pure, others are impure. This feeling will come from that. So proper purification is only when the ahankaram goes away. That is purification basically. We all require that purification. Purification from ahankaram, from ego inside, right? Because ahankaram is a bigger suffering. Everything we suffer in this world because of ahankaram. Others offend us, or others give us trouble, we get offended. All this is ahankaram only. So, and this greatest impurity inside is this ahankaram inside, right? And whatever purification you have got otherwise, bodily purification, mental purification, everything, this ahankaram, which is the greatest impurity, that won't give you peace of mind. This ahankaram inside, right? But when you surrender to Krishna, the first thing that Krishna takes it off from us is this ahankaram. Because that is the biggest impurity inside, the ahankaram inside. And when you hand over that, shashat shantim nigachari, Krishna is saying that. That is what happens when he talks about that verse. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachari means that he will keep place on our ahankaram first. If he knows very well the person is suffering because of ahankaram, what needs to be taken out is this ahankaram from him. And once Krishna takes that ahankaram out from inside, shashvat shantim nigachari, he will feel shanti inside. And a big distress goes away with the relief from that. Name bhakta pranashari. So, that correction, what Krishna does, or you can say uninterrupted corruption of crushing this ego inside us, right? And that is the proof of that ashrayam. How ashrayam develops into that stage, right? And there, wherever, there is no damage. Why? Because there is shelter there. We have taken shelter of Krishna, ashrayam. And therefore Krishna's mercy is there, shanti is there, anandam is there, and therefore that nirvruti or fulfillment also will be there, right? And this is what Krishna has essentially spoken in the last chapter. In that Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yogam, basically it's all about Sharanagati. That is the secret Krishna is saying to us. The secret of spiritual life is spoken as though it is a secret, but you can speak about it, but you won't know it till you realize it. Practice it and realize it. Yeah. And ultimately, so this Rajavidya Rajagukhya Yogam is what, this is what Krishna has spoken in that ninth chapter, right? Ultimately, Krishna said that, Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhak, he used the word there, Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhak, how one should execute bhakti. He said that, right? What did he say? Manmana bhav mad bhakto, madhya jimam namaskuru, mama veshasthyandi, yeah. Mama veshasthyandi, prajane priyosmi, atmanam mad parayana, in two different places, two different, the same words in two different places spoken, with the change in the last line. Manmana bhav mad bhakto, madhya jimam namaskuru, mama veshasthyandi, atmanam mad parayana. Yeah. That is how he closed that ninth chapter. Yeah? He said, Manmana, never think about anything else except me. Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Mad Yaji, all you do is for me, do it, Yajnam. Become, makes it a Yajnam. Mam Namaskuru, so offer obeisances to me. In this way, you link your mind with me completely. Manmana, think about me only. Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Mad Yaji, offer everything to me. Or make a yajnam. Life makes a, life a yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. Make it a sacrifice. Namaskuru, offer obeisances to me. Mama Veshasi Yuktaivam. And if you keep me as your ultimate destination and link your mind with me, then you will come to me. Krishna is saying that, yeah? So, bhakti, Krishna has concluded like that, with that verse. He said, mai mano yasya sattvam manmana bhava tada malbhakto bhava madhyaji madhyajana shilo va bhava mam eva janamaskuru mam eva ishuram eshyasi Agamashasi yutva samadhaya chittameyam atmanam aham hi sarvesham bhudanam alma paranjagadi param ayanam tam mam evam bhudam yashasi idi adhidena padena sambandha mat parayana san ityartaha. So this particular verse is bhakti. That is proper bhakti. Manmanabhavad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mama veshasi yutteiva atmanam mat parayana. And that is the conclusion of that, able to live in a surrendered state in life, and you handed over the mind to Krishna, and we don't use the senses anymore with the mind. Instead, what happened? Chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Anisandhanam, and then you surrender the ego to Krishna, and that is Mad Bhaktaha. And then whatever happiness, distress comes in life, all of that, Krishna is saying Yajnam, Homam, and that is this Madhyaji. Madhyaji means everything that happens in life, handed over to Krishna, whatever it is, Krishna's accepted in that, Krishna's mercy in that way. Mam Namaskuru, that completely offered obeisances and total Sharanagati in that way. In this way, if one lives in this world with complete Bhagavad Ashrayam, with total Ashrayam of Krishna, in that state, Bhakti Purnam, right? Mam Eshasi, Krishna is saying, you will come back to me. You will come back to me. And right now, even here, you have reached me already. You already meet with me, he said. There is no thing to happen later on. Already you have, it has happened. Provided these things have happened. Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, right? At this moment, how are we now, right? for example, at the moment, wherever we are, whichever way we are, Krishna's point is that it has to happen now. Not that I surrender today and the result will come much later. This is a misconception. If you have surrendered now, the result also must be there now. And you are living in this world now. But if you surrender, that means I have taken over then. Then you don't have to wait that after death I will come and take over everything. That's a misunderstanding. So, and every moment you surrender, that's a moment. The moment you surrender, then you are mine, Krishna says. Then it's not that you surrender now and I will give you the result later on. Not like that. Yeah. So everything has to happen on the spot when the surrender happens, right? So this has to happen, that means continuous smarana is required, Bhagavad Smarana. That is only you can say that you have done everything, what Krishna is saying. Totally surrendered state. Yeah. So for such a person, he has already reached Krishna, once who has surrendered like that, right? That is what he is saying, Atmanam Matparayana. Earlier he mentions that he, Parayana, yeah? Parayana means totally surrendered. In this way, Krishna completed that Atmanam Matparayana, the last line of the last chapter. Alpanam Matparayana, that he has completely surrendered to me. Completely surrendered to me. So that state, Krishna is saying, you have become mine then. After that, you don't have any independence. You are mine then. So, so that way Krishna completed that chapter, right? And you will also see why I'm saying all these things is the ninth chapter is. We have to understand what vibhuti means. Isn't it? The next chapter, 10th chapter, is called Vibhuti Yoga. Normally we read it and we think that vibhuti means that, oh, how Krishna's opulences, English translation is opulences, isn't it? What is this opulences, Krishna? Krishna's opulences we can't even discuss because it's beyond our understanding, Krishna's opulences. From whom this whole creation comes. What opulence is there to discuss about Krishna's opulences? No, that's not what vibhuti actually means. Because it's translated in English like that, because there's no other way of saying it in one word. So they use the word opulences, right? But this vibhuti word itself means a lot. And it is linked to this ninth chapter, beginning with this surrender. Beginning with the surrender, right? So, Vibhuti means Visheshena Anubhuti. The Anubhuti what you get, Visheshena, especially that Anubhuti what you get, right? That relationship with Krishna for a devotee started realizing what Vibhuti means. If you look into the 8th canto, Bhagavadam, right? There also, there is a whole Brahma Stuti there, in the 8th canto. Mahavibhuti, he finishes verse after verse after verse, talking about Mahavibhuti, Krishna's Mahavibhuti. 7th canto, it is in the 8th canto, right? Mahavibhuti. So, and similarly, Prahlada says about Mahavibhuti, Krishna's Mahavibhuti, right? Prahlada has seen that, but Hiranyakashipu didn't see that. That was the main problem, right? That's all it is. You will see in the Bhagavadam. Thank you. In the fifth chapter of the eighth canto, Brahma's prayers begins with the 26th verse, Avikriyam Satyam Anandamandyam. It goes like that. And then he will keep talking about from the 32nd verse onwards. Savai Mahapurusham Alpatantram Prasidadam Brahma Mahavibhudi. And he keeps on saying Mahavibhudi, Mahavibhudi, all the verses, all the way, right up to 43, all about Mahavibhudi. Krishna's Mahavibhudi, Mahavibhudi, he is saying here. Right? So you will get some idea from those verses what that Mahavibhudi is. Yeah? Mahavibhudi is. And then in the seventh canto, Prahlada also saying same thing in a different way. What he is saying is, there is nothing here except Krishna, Prahlada said. So, what Prahlada experienced that time, and Hiranyakashipu was standing next to him, and he says, Atmaiva Idam Sarvam. Prahlada is saying, Atmaiva Idam Sarvam. Everything is Atma, soul. Nothing else exists here. And he said, Tvam Vayuragni Avanirmiya Dambu Matra. 48th verse in the 9th chapter. Tum vayuragni avanir viya dambu matra pranendriyani hridayam chitanyugrahascha sarvam tumeva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanyal tadastavi mano vajasa niruktam. This is an important verse. Shri Prahlada saying there, Tum vayuragni avani viya dambu matram pranendriyani hridayam chitanyugrahascha sarvam tvameva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanyan tadasabi mano vajasa niruktam. He is saying that sagunam vigunam, good, bad, whatever I am seeing here, everything is Krishna for Prahlada, right? So for Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu is also Krishna. He is only seeing Krishna in the Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is not seeing that way. For Hiranyakashipu, there is no Narayana anywhere. Prahlada sees only Narayana everywhere. He says, Sarvam Tumeva. Sarvam Tumeva. Everything is you, including Hiranyakashipu. It's you who is inside him, right? So when Prahlada is looking at Hiranyakashipu, he is only seeing Narayana in Hiranyakashipu, right? Sarvam Tvameva Saguno Vigunascha Bhuman. Everywhere. So this Sarvatma Bhavam, seeing Krishna's presence in everything, that is called Sarvatma Bhavam, right? That Sarvatma Bhavam is the perfection. Of course, it has happened to Prahlada like that. But for us now, that is impossible to think about it, Sarvatma Bhavam, right? We would now at least like to see Krishna in a particular place, in a special, in a particular location, able to see him, right? Because we can't see him anywhere at our state. Prahlada is seeing him everywhere. He can't see anything else except Krishna. That is his state. Even in Hiranyakashipu, he is seeing Krishna there. That is higher, very high state, right? But in our case, we cannot do that because we are not seeing him anywhere. That's our present problem, right? So when it is like that, at least if you are able to see some places, recognize his presence, sanidhyam, in other words. So it is for that purpose we go to Mahatmas, great personalities, highly realized souls, and similarly going to the temple. And all these things are for that purpose. Because we can't see him anywhere, Therefore, certain special occasions like this, association with Mahalpas, great personalities, or going to the temples and things like that, it is for that purpose, right? So, vibhuti, the word vibhuti, the symptom of that, or you can say the definition of this vibhuti is, in Shaiva Siddhantam they will discuss this. There is a whole tradition with Lord Shiva in the same way like Krishna, with Vaishnavas. So in Shaiva Siddhantam they will say, the biggest problem we all have is to control our ego, is it not? Ahangaram inside. And that is a very difficult thing. Our ahangaram works in different ways, right? So, even if you are doing sadhana, chanting the holy name, meditation, or yoga, or whatever it may be, you will still feel that I am doing this. I am doing this. And that, I could do that, I have done this, I have done that. And all this kind of ahangaram will come to anybody. Even for sannyasis also. It's there in them, but they won't explicitly show it. But ahangaram will be there. It has not left them, right? So, the question is, how do you get rid of that? The one who is saying that, I've done this, I've done that. I've done this sadhana, I've done that sadhana. And feeling that I, strong I inside. And that is difficult to remove, that ahangaram, right? And he will keep growing. The more you do it, it will keep growing, right? So, at some point, this ahangaram has to go because it's not a real one. How does it prove? Sushupti. Sushupti is not there. So, it's a false one that is operating inside us in the form of this ahangaram, present only in the waking stage and in the dream state, not in the deep sleep, right? So, this will, what that deep sleep is showing is that ahangaram can disappear if it goes close to Krishna, which happens in the deep sleep, in Sushupti. So, the proof of that surrender of the ahangaram happens when it gets closer to Krishna, which happens in the deep sleep. And in the Sushupti, ahangaram disappears. It goes away, right? Similarly, this can also happen in the association of great personalities, highly realized souls, this can happen. Or in the presence of the guru, spiritual master. Or any presence, any location where a higher presence than us is present. Naturally, when we go there, somebody who is in a higher state, at least temporarily, our ahangaram will surrender. Temporarily. But when you come out again, it will come back. That's the way the ahangaram is, right? So, because the ahangaram surrenders at that time, in the presence of a great personality, Mahatma, that time you will experience Krishna's presence inside. Just like in the Sushupti. Sushupti, what you are experiencing is Krishna basically. That is why that anandam, it is not the happiness coming from sense objects. It's coming from Krishna. That happiness, what you get in Sushupti, is coming from Krishna. So what he is showing to us is, this is how you study Sushupti. In Sushupti, when ahangaram goes to Krishna, Krishna take away that ahangaram temporarily for a small period of time, and then you are experiencing Krishna inside you. And that's the happiness what you are getting in Sushupti. In the same way, in the association of Mahalpas, because there Krishna is present in them very strongly, or in certain places where your ahangaram goes away, what that shows is that the effect of that Mahatma or the deity or the temple on you, that how it affects your ahangaram, right? So that is a way of experiencing Krishna in some places, right? When Mahatmas look at us, when they look at us, within ourselves we feel that we are not this body. Bodily identification goes away from inside us, right? And even for a very short period of time, you will start realizing that you are Atma and not the body. For a few minutes or few hours if you are with them. At that time, because of they project this into us. Because they are in that state. And when you are close with them, they project that onto you. And with the result that your ahankaram goes away. And when ahankaram goes away, you start realizing that you are not the body. That's when you realize you are not the body. Ahankaram is nothing but identification with the body. Yeah. So all these things happen. So, but this happens only for a short period of time. And that state, when you don't have ahankaram, you can say egoless state. Yeah. And your experience, right? But that happened not because of you being clever. Not because of your effort it has happened, right? Just like Krishna's arrangement to teach us that is Sushupti. He is teaching us through Sushupti, that thing. That every day you have an option to enjoy that without hangaram, without ego, to stay for some time and enjoy Krishna directly like that. And that state is available to us in the deep sleep. Is it not? Sushupti, Krishna has given us that Sushupti. At least for a short period of time in a day, you can live without this ahankaram. And thereby, you can experience Krishna. And you can see very clearly that the happiness what you experienced in Sushupti didn't come from the world outside. Because body was not there, mind was not there, senses were not there, ahankaram was not there. And still you are saying you are happy. Where did that happiness come from? It came from Antaryami, Krishna inside, right? So, and you are waking up in the morning and saying that it was nice, I had a good sleep. You have to say this to somebody, only then you feel happy. That I had a good sleep, I enjoyed it, and I feel better, feel refreshed, right? So, that is, but this arrangement is Krishna's arrangement. Which one? The experience in Sushupti. Ishvara Niyadi it is. Krishna's arrangement, right? But with that, it's of no use to us in the vacant state. That's gone. That was only in the deep sleep state that you had that, right? So, to get that experience in Jagrat, or in our vacant state, it's possible only in the association of Mahalmas, but you won't get that to the same extent what you got in Sushupti. Not to that extent. Even with Mahalmas, that is, this problem is there. Even if they are such great Mahalmas, still, you will get a lot, but you won't get exactly to the same degree what you got that in the Sushupti, right? So, but you will feel some experience of that in the association of Mahalmas for a short period of time, right? And that time, our ego disappears. We surrender there, because actually what's happening is surrender there. And the ego withdraws from inside. So, this is called presence, power of presence. Power of presence. And there are many people who have written books about this. About Ramana Maharshi, there is a book written about the power of presence. One of his Western disciples means who had come and spent time there. Right? The power of presence, they call it. They felt that when they were with him. Right? So, so what that does says, forcefully, that power in that personality controls us, right? Controls us and subdues our ahankaram forcefully from outside. Not through our sadhana, right? And it has come from outside. External thing it is, right? And Mahalmas have spoken about that. Great souls who have... if you go to Tirunamalai temple, for example, there is Arunagirinathar's one shrine there. Yeah. So Arunagirinathar sings a song about that, saying that for a powerful force has come. He worshipped Lord Subramanya. Subramanya's devotee he was. Subramanya has taken over his ego and made him to surrender, right? And that feeling that he felt at that time, from surrender. He explains that, right? And for a short period of time, he's saying that I don't exist, but the Sanyam exists, but that Ahankaram is not there, right? So therefore, there is Shanti at that time, Anandam, bliss or satisfaction, right? So he felt that, and people spoke about that. Aranagrinatha talks about that. He is in the sanity, how he felt in his presence, right? We have to get used to that kind of thing, practical experience in life, right? Why it is so? This has to be practiced a little bit in life. It's essential. Why? Because the day we were born in this world, from that day onwards, what we are used to is personality, is it not? Egos only. Whole life we have been dealing with ego, with different egos, right? And this personality business, personality is ego, basically, right? And we ourselves developed, we were growing with this personality, were we not? That we have been given a name, added to the personality, and everybody started calling you by your name. That means you are strongly identifying with that name and the personality, right? So, if you look at your own life, everyone's life, it's not only one person, the whole society is actually strengthening our personality in different ways. It's not all the interactions with the society, your parents, brothers, sisters, they all is adding to your personality. They're telling you that you are our son. And brothers will tell you are my brother, sisters will tell you are my sister. In this way, every one of you, every one of them is increasing your personality and makes you stronger that way. Yeah. And then for 5-6 years at home, they have made some addition to your personality. And you have become a person by the age of 5 or 6. And then you go to school and college, and they have made it worse. Already personality has developed here, and then when you went to the school and colleges, then that's what they have done to us also, right? Why? Because you can see how it has happened to us. Once you get there, school or college, then competition begins. Then you have to beat everybody else. This way it is injected into us, is it not? In a subtle level, it is getting inside us, about this thing called personality, right? And then competition begins, and throughout life it is nothing but competition with others, whole life. Education, competition. Job, competition. And social life, competition. Everywhere there is only competition in life. And what does competition does is, it strengthens of ego, strengthens the personality inside. And this is our life in this world. And you can only do it that way, if you have to live with the society. That's the only way it can be done, right? So, our stupidity, I'm saying, how stupid we are, that this aghangaram inside, it becomes stronger and stronger day by day. And when the child becomes very, when this aghangaram gets very stronger, we start saying, oh, the child, he is very matured now, he says. His ahankaram is what you are recognizing and saying that he has become very matured, he can look after himself, and the parents feel happy. Parents are also avidya. Children is also avidya. From spiritual side, when you look at it, this is the end result. Parents feel happy, they feel that he can look after himself, means, oh, he's doing well, we say about him, he's doing well, he can look after himself. In this way, we appreciate his growth in this way. And we say he has got good intelligence. See how intelligent he is. He is managing himself very well. In this way we glorify him, or we we react with the situations like that. Basically what it is done is that his personality has become very strong and sound inside, right? So, if you want to look at an example, is this dogs, when they have small puppies, right, they will bite them to teach them how to bite, right? To teach them how to bite, right? And we will think that they are playing. Actually, they are not playing. The big dog is teaching the big puppies how to bite, to teach the puppies how to bite others, right? Similarly, we also teach our children. We are not much different than the dogs in that sense. We are also teaching these our children in the same way. Learn how to look after yourself. This is mine and that's yours. And get strongly this feeling inside to protect, to save money, to look after your wealth, to look after your assets, and look after yourself, everything. In this way, like the dog is training its puppies, we are also training our children in the same way. And then, sometimes the child will say, this is not mine, that's yours. No, it's yours. We will force the child to develop that feeling of possessiveness in them, right? So, we will think that the dog is playing with the puppies, right? But actually the dog is teaching the child how to bite, teaching the puppies how to bite, right? So, gradually, little by little, we are making the children to learn how to be egoistic, how to become selfish. Unfortunately, that's the way we can live in this world. That's why our weaknesses, problems, I'm saying, with the living in a society, even there this problem comes. And over a period of time, he becomes selfish. Then you don't have to teach him anymore. And he will learn that from the society, from the parents, from the family, everywhere. And so without selfishness, you cannot live in this world. That's the way it is. It's built like this, the society, right? So if you say you are a sadhu, that means you are useless in this world is concerned. You are useless, right? So that is the nature of this world. And because of that, we have suffering. Once that becomes our nature, our swabhav, then becomes suffering, right? That is where all the distress is coming from that, of becoming like that, right? Whole distress is coming from that. And the name for that in the Shastram is called Moola Avidya. Moola Avidya it is. Yeah? This Moola Avidya, we have propped it up and made it so strong, and this is what we are trying to get rid of in spiritual life. This Moola Avidya, what we have created in a person for the whole life, to get rid of that, right? And it is considered even more serious than even cancer. Because where will you throw it away, this Moola Avidya? Because we don't have a situation in life, any time, when this is not there. Except Sushupti. Only in the Sushupti, this Moola Avidya is not there. Personality is not there. Personality, ego, ahangaram, whichever way you call that, it's the same thing. It's not there only in the Sushupti. And Sushupti is a demonstration every day. That ego goes away, you don't have any wealth in Sushupti, because you don't know, you don't remember anything, whether you have a bank account or not, or cash in the hand, cash in bank. You are not conscious of a house that you own. You don't have any wealth in the bank. Nothing, right? So you have lost all the artham. All the wealth you have lost. You don't possess anything. And this ego has gone in the Sushupti. So, and that is why any day when you feel a lot of suffering in this world, some problems comes in life, and you are affected by that heavily, at that time, no matter how deep that distress is, if you are able to enter into Sushupti, that distress goes away, at least during that time, right? And And then when you wake up, it has come back again. It comes back again. All the distress what you have forgotten has come back again. And all the anartham what you have given up in the sushupti, it has all come back. All the problems have come back, in other words. Once that comes back, then me, you and he. These are the three important things. Me, you and he. They comes back, right? So, once they have come, then it is difficult to sleep because the problems are also connected with these three. Me, you and he, right? So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Gunadhidhan he talks about. What is Gunadhidhan means? These three things don't exist in your dealings with the world. Me, you and he. Because me, you and he, problem is me, you, he is, if me and you have a direct relationship, with he it is an indirect relationship. In other words, if I am talking to you, I'll talk about me. And then I will ask you, you will talk about yourself. So it's always centered around this ahankaram, ego, all the conversation will be. And if I'm not talking about me, and if I'm not talking about you, we will talk to each other about someone else, he. So me, you, he, these three are controls all our conversation, all the time. And Krishna is saying in that chapter, in the Bhagavad Gita, when he is talking about Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, Gunatrayam, when you transcend the Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, then this me, you and he will go from a person. He won't have anything to talk about based on me, you and he. This me, you and he is a big problem. Yeah. So, that is the siddhi, what he call it as, Krishna calls it as Yoga Siddhi. In that chapter, Pratnya, the name, different ways he calls that, right? Sometimes he calls it as Pratnya, Trigunadhidhan, Bhakti, Jnanam, Samadhi, all these things, different names he has given to that, but it is Trigunadhidha Siddhi, right? So, therefore, he says, that is a normal state, Krishna says. That should be our normal state, where me, you, he doesn't exist. Then you will say, when what else is there to talk about? There's nothing else to talk about, isn't it? When you think about it, every conversation, if you look, it is either me, you or he. And when these three things goes away in our conversation, then that means you have come to Trigunadhidham state. That means Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam has withdrawn from a person. So that is the normal state. Right now we are in the abnormal state. Right now where we are now is abnormal state, right? Normal state is Shanti state. Sandosham. Because Ahankaram has gone away. And that is the goal of Bhakti. To come to this normal state, right? Ahankaram has to go. Freedom from Ahankaram, in other words. Even now, Ahankaram is doing the sadhana. Ahankaram is doing the chanting. Ahankaram is doing the pranayamam. Everything, Ahankaram is doing it. Even in our present state, right? So, with the Ahankaram, you cannot destroy Ahankaram. With Ahankaram, you cannot destroy Ahankaram. Because whatever you do, ultimately, you will keep saying, I am doing it. I have done this, I have done that, I am doing it in this way. But only when it goes to a higher presence, right, you will experience a particular happiness from that because of Ahankaram surrender there at that time. And that is actually what is supposed to happen in Salsangam, that you are surrendering your Ahankaram somewhere, right? In Salsangam, it is like this, what happens? I am not existing, but at the same time existing, a state like that. When you go into a Salsangam, when you hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam from Krishna's words, it has an effect on everybody. and you feel your ahankaram starts accepting what Krishna is saying. And that time ahankaram goes the way. But when you leave, ahankaram back again, comes back again, right? So ahankaram, aham is there. In the satsangam also, aham is there, but you will experience this freedom from that ahankaram sometimes when you hear from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. That will have a subtle level, an experience inside, it will come, right? But the thing is, we don't give attention to all that. We don't have, because we are all, our problem is when we hear, immediately mind comes. And mind starts interpreting it. So when the mind gets involved, the subtle sides of spiritual life goes away from us. You won't notice them, in other words. When mind and intelligence starts interpreting things, the subtle messages involved in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam will not be noticed by you, will not be recognized by you. That is what he is saying here, right? And therefore, when it comes, you are not able to give attention to that, because immediately mind takes over and mind starts interpreting, right? So what happens? Sometimes in satsangam, when something is spoken, right, it hits you and you get some experience, but then the mind changes the whole thing. Mind turns the whole thing into, brings it into its control and starts interpreting it. With that, the effect of that satsangam is lost. It's lost, right? So that means you make it mental at that time. Then again, it will happen in probably the next satsangam when that happens, right? Just like you go and bathe in the Ganga River, come back, you clean and washed your vasanas or sabhavam. But then you come to the world and you live in the world for some time. Again you get polluted, go back again, you have to bathe. In the same way, what happens in satsangam also, right? So, so like tirthasnanam, bathing in the rivers and bathing holy places, what is required is to sit in these things, and ultimately what will happen is, you know, like we say, acclimatization with the weather conditions. For example, you are living in a cold weather now. When you go into hot weather, initially it's very difficult. Then when you live there for some time, you get acclimatized with that weather. Like we got acclimatized with the cold weather here. In the same way, the other way also it happens. It's all acclimatization, what they call it as acclimatization, right? So, like you can see this everywhere, this problem comes. First time when someone comes from India here, he feels the cold a lot. And then if he lives here a few years, he gets used to it. And then you understood the weather pattern and you know, your body is also able to adjust to some extent with that. And that is how, this is called acclimatization, yeah. Like for example, if you go to Kedarnath, it's a very high altitude, even higher than Badrinath, isn't it? Kedarnath is higher. So when you get there will be a problem with breathing. People who have got asthma and all that, they'll find it difficult to breathe there. There's not sufficient oxygen because of the height there, right? But then if you stay in Kedarnath for some time, you get used to that altitude, and then you get used to breathing there. But once in a way, when you go from the land to the Kedarnath mountains, after traveling all the way, it's about 21,000 feet or something like that, 20,000 or 29,000, something like that, you will feel the difficulty in breathing there because of the height. Yeah. So, so therefore, this Surubhasthiti. Surubhasthiti means this freedom from ego, that state. That is Surupasthiti. That means you are not identifying with the body, rather identifying with the Ahankaram goes away, basically. That means you are not identifying with the body. That's a thing one has to get used to it, how to stay in that state. Yeah. And that is where practice required also. A lot of practice required, right? And so normally people go to the temples for this reason in a subtle level. That's the reason why people go to the temple. Even though at least there they feel there is something there that makes you feel a relief from the ahankaram, relief from the ego, ego problems, right? And Mahatmas, they will go to Vishnu temples, Shiva temples, and they will inquire, and then they will go there and glorify the deity there. At that time they feel this ego in them through kirtana. They'll become a little relieved from their ego. That's what that's happening there to them, right? And offer obeisances to the deity, glorify the deity, sing, glorify the... That is the idea of all these things, to go to the temple is for this purpose, right? And if one makes it a habit regularly to do that, then this ego inside will slowly come down. Its ahankaram will slowly come down, right? So what it is saying is that for the ahankaram to go, a presence, higher presence is required. Higher presence. In the temple, the deities are doing that. Because you have accepted the deities are Krishna. So therefore, when you go there, your ahankaram naturally comes down at that moment, right? So, but in their presence, normally what will happen is this acclimatization happens of this egoless state, right? But then what happens is, if you stay there for a long time, that due to familiarity, this ahankaram will come back again. Ahankaram is a very subtle thing. The way it comes and goes, it's a very difficult thing to monitor that. And when this ahankaram completely goes away from inside, you will experience Antaryami's presence. That is what great devotees say. When ahankaram completely goes away, then Antaryami's presence will be felt at that time. So this experience, what you get in the higher presence, when your ahankaram goes away and make you feel your swanibhuti of your own identity, even to a little degree, that power is called vibhuti. That's where vibhuti coming from. Vibhuti yogam is not Himalaya is a mountain, the rivers are big, or the Ganga is a river, or the Yamuna is a river, or the oceans, or the big forests, sky, all these are considered in different ways Mahavibhuti, Krishna's vibhutis. But the subtle side of all this is, where your ahankaram surrenders at the end, in some way, and that is Krishna's vibhuti, right? So that sannidhyam, or presence of something, sometimes it is big temples, sometimes it is Himalayas, sometimes it is oceans, all these are part of the vibhutis, right? And that sannidhyam or presence, which will influence you, or powerfully make you abide by that, or surrender. And that surrender is not by your effort, but by its power. Do you understand what I'm saying? By its power, it makes you to surrender. And you are able to surrender, and this ahankaram goes away. That is called vibhuti. That is why vibhuti it is called. It is not dependent on your effort, but it is dependent on its power. Its power, right? Due to its presence, in other words, or shakti. And temporarily, it has suppressed your ego, your ahankaram, right? and it has forced you to control your mind and senses, and for a short period of time it gets you absorbed in that. So a way of controlling the mind by its powerful presence, and that is why it's called a vibhuti. For example, when you say, sometimes when you see a cinema, your mind is not working like the way it works normal. It is absorbed in that, isn't it? It gets absorbed. Or when you read a book, it gets absorbed in that, right? In both these instances, your mind is surrendering there. But at the same time, the external things like that, cinema or the reading a book and things like that, it will also strengthen your ego in another way. And but to control this ego, ahankaram inside us, without creating any ragadvesham, whereas cinema and other things may create ragadvesham inside us, but without creating any ragadvesham, purely through spiritual experience, able to control us, our ahankaram, it is only possible that it can be only in the presence of some higher power, like a highly realized soul or a highly advanced soul in spiritual life. In their presence, this can happen. Or in the temple, it can happen. In the temples, big temples where very well worship is going on, when you go there, you automatically you feel humble inside, isn't it? Because you are in the presence of that powerful deity which is worshipped there, right? So people ask this question, why do we need temples? Is it not? The reason is this, that it is for this purpose, the temple. A place where somewhere where you can surrender your ego somehow, right? So all these great temples, rishis have built for this purpose. For this purpose, right? Because of their compassion for the jivas, seeing compassionate for them, they built these temples. They didn't build anything else, they built the temples for that, right? In order that you get an opportunity to get this surrender inside. Otherwise, all the time if you are busy with the world outside, you won't be able to do this. Because world is vyavaharam, right? In vyavaharam, ahankaram will come. And ahankaram will take over. And the more you do vyavaharam, the more ahankaram will build up inside. Through karma. Ahankaram will build up inside. And the only place where you can be free to some extent is when you approach a higher presence. And that higher presence is, rishis have given that higher presence by themselves, and then they built the temples, giving an opportunity for the ordinary people to come and surrender their ego there. At least there. But it will come back again when you leave the place. Ahankaram will come back. Yeah. So this ahankaram, controlling this ahankaram and bringing it under control, is done by the vibhuti. Krishna's vibhutis are for that purpose, right? So, what we cannot do on our own, normally, by our effort, will go by this surrender process. Going to the temple, surrendering all the time. And gradually, over a long period of time, that presence will be felt inside and ahankaram will withdraw. Because you become more attached to that form, right? And then you won't require anything from outside, right? Why? Because Antaryami inside becomes strong inside. The Antaryami realization, and that is Mahavibhuti. Mahavibhuti, right? Out of all these things, all the things, the greatest vibhuti of Krishna is Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside, right? And that is our Swarupa, our spiritual life. That is the greatest vibhuti of all. And that is why Krishna said, Aham Atma Gudagesha, as a vibhuti. Of all the vibhutis, Krishna says, that is the greatest vibhuti. अहम आत्मा गुडाकेश सर्वभूताशयस्थित अहम आद्यंच मध्यंच भूतानाम अंतमेव च देयर इज नो हायर विभूति देन दैट कृष्णा हु इज प्रेजेंट इन एवरीवन्स हार्ट ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज एंड मेकिंग देम टू सर्वभूताशयस्थित एंड ही इज द वन ओरिजिनल वन एंड अहम आद्यंच मध्यंच भूतानाम अंतमेव च बिगिनिंग मिडिल एंड द एंड ऑफ एवरीथिंग Everything is centered around that one thing, Krishna, Antaryami, inside. It is centered around this whole creation works, operates on that. All these bodies have come from Maya. But the real me inside is Aham, Atma. That's the real. And that is the vibhuti of all the greatest vibhuti, right? So, So there are few things to understand here. You have to gradually go, slowly, not rush into these things, because otherwise you will miss the whole thing. In Vedam, so this Krishna is saying here, Vibhuti is for what purpose? What is the necessity for Upasana? For Upasana purpose, right? So Upasana purpose, Krishna is saying, All these vibhutis I have spoken. So that you see me in all these places and you feel bhakti inside when you see them. Yeah? And that way that ahankaram will go at that time. At least at that time, the ahankaram will go. So it is for upasana purposes vibhuti is. In Vedam we have these three kandam, isn't it? Karma kandam, upasana kandam, Jnana Kandam. The three different portions of the Karma Kandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam. Or Karma Kandam, Bhakti Kandam, Jnana Kandam. Right? If you look at those three things, right? Karmam and Upasana, the first two, is different for everybody. Is different for everybody. Depending on the sampradaya in which you are following. Karmam and Upasana is different for everybody, depending on the sampradayam you are following, right? But jnanam is for everyone the same. That is important point. You understand that? Karma kandam, upasana kandam will vary depending on the person. But jnana kandam is same for everybody, because ultimately you are realizing the truth there in jnana kandam. And the truth is one. And it is same for everybody. Whether you are Hindu, Muslim, Christian, whatever it may be, the jnanam at the end is this realization of the truth inside you. That Antaryami realization, right? So, jnanam is not dependent on anybody. It is knowledge of the self. Is it not? It's not dependent on anybody, right? Whereas upasana, depending on the person, it will change. Upasana will change. One may be a devotee of Vishnu, another may be a devotee of Shiva, another person will be a devotee of Devi. In this way, upasana side, you will follow different ways, because your upasana process is different, right? So upasana according to your swabhavam it will change. According to one's swabhavam it will change, right? And not only that, even if you look at different sampradayams, Vaishnava sampradayam, Shaiva Sampradayam, Advaita Sampradayam, Dvaita Sampradayam, whatever Sampradayam, if you look at it, they all have their own Upasana Sampradayam, is it not? For example, Madhvacharya Sampradayam, they have their own Sampradayam, Gaudiya Sampradayam has its own Sampradayam, Ramanujas have got their own Sampradayam. Similarly, Shaiva Sampradayams are there, Pashupadam, they have their own Sampradayam. So Upasana Sampradayam will change from one person to another person. But when it comes to jnanam, Vaishnavas and Shaivas have to agree the truth is one. You can accept that truth in the different forms which you like. Krishna's form, Vishnu's form, Ramchandra's form, Narasimha's form, or Shiva's form, Sri Parvati's form. That sampradaya, upasana sampradayam, forms everything, will vary according to the sampradayam. But the truth which is taking all these different forms is one. It's true for Shaivam, it's true for Vaishnavam, Shaktayam, Sauryam, Ganavatyam, Kaumaram, they all have accept truth as one. But upasana sampradayam will vary depending on the sampradayam which you follow, right? So, and that is what makes the difference in the parampara. Parampara differences come from this. The sampradaya upasana system, that's what makes the differences, right? And not only that, even in the Advaitam if you take, Advaita sampradayam also, in different madams, they have different sampradayams again of worshipping, right? For example, I can only say what I know, in Brahmaso Matam in Thrissur, there are four different mathams there in one matham. One place it is Parthasarathi worshipped. Another place is Venugopal. Another place is Narasimham. Another place is Dakshinamurti. Four sampradayam, four different mathams are represented in Brahmaso Matam because they, four mathams joined together and they began this Brahmaso Matam. And there is four mathams there and four sannyasis from four mathams representing Sringeri, Dwarka, Badri and Puri, Jagannath Puri. From these four mathams, they all the four Shankaracharyas joined together and they began this Brahmaso Matam. And in Brahmaso Matam, in the same building, there are these four different forms of the same one truth. Absolute truth. Sachidananda Brahmam is worshipped by one sannyasi as Venugopal, another one as Parthasarathi, other one as Narasimham, and the fourth one as Dakshinamurti. And all the four sannyasis are Advaita Sampradaya. But the forms, Upasana Sampradaya for all four are different. You see? All the four sannyasis, their upasana is different. But the truth is one, because based on the form they are worshipping. That's their form of worship like that. So what I'm saying is, like Shiva is worshipped. He's worshipped in Kashi. He's worshipped in Kedarnath. He's worshipped in Chidambaram. He's worshipped in Thiruvannamalai. If you go to all these places, you will find the upasana process is different. But they are all worshipping the same one, Shiva. Is it not? Somanath is same. Same thing in Rameshwaram, same. But process of worship is different. Because the parambaras are different. Therefore, sampradayam is different. But Krishna, it is Lord Shiva who is worshipped in all these places. Same thing. Same thing in Jagannath Puri. Same thing in Badrinath. Same thing in Tirupati. Same thing if you go to Varadaraja temple. Same thing in Pandharpur. Same thing in Guruvayur. Wherever you go, all these big places where Krishna is worshipped in different forms. Truth is one. Sachidananda Brahmam, but the sampradayam or the parampara system is different. The method process of worship. That's a way to understand that, right? So, so upasana sampradayam will vary in everywhere. All mathams, ashrams, temples, everywhere it will be different, right? So, they will say like that, you will see, as I mentioned before, the Brahma says this about it is in the second canto also you will see this. These are subtle things in the Bhagavatam which normally we won't notice it when you read it, right? If you look into the second canto in the 9th chapter, Krishna before he spoke about Chadashloki Bhagavadam, he said something. Chadashloki Bhagavadam is 2, 9, 32, 33, 34, 35. Four verses, right? But before that, when Krishna started that, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, verse 30. Yanam Parama Guhyam Me Yad vijnana samanvidam sa rahasyam tadangam cha grihana gajidam maya, he says. What is that? What is Krishna saying there?
Krishna is saying, Jnanam parama guhyam ye me yad vijnana samanvitam sa rahasyam tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya.
Krishna is saying here that what all he spoke there, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Tadangam, Rahasyam. Krishna is saying, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Tadangam, Rahasyam. So, Chadashloki Bhagavadam is covering all these things. This Rahasyam, what he is saying, confidential, is what is referring to Upasana or Sadhana process. Right? And that is different from different Sampradaya. That Upasana is different for different sampradayam. And if you want to know the rahasyam of any sampradayam, you have to go and practice it with them to understand what is the secret of their upasana process. Sampradayam, right? Only if you go there, you will know that. Yeah? Like any big temple, if you go to Arunachaleshwara temple, there they have their own process of worship. Right? And there they will accept the hill Arunachalam. It's a part of that worship, right? And similar, it's a vibhuti. And then circumambulating that hill, Giri Pradakshinam, that's a part of that worship of Arunachala there, right? And all that is only known if you live there and associate with the devotees there. Only then you will get to know little by little everything related to Arunachalam. You will get to know like that. So that is Upasana Sampradayam of that particular place. It's equally, the same way it exists everywhere, in the big places, big temples, right? If you go and live there and get used to their system, gradually you will get to understand what is the rahasyam of their style of Upasana, style of worship, right? So rahasyam means, that word Krishna has used there, rahasyam. Rahasyam means actually the upasana of that, of Chadashogi Bhagavata upasana it is, right? So, so jnana vijnanam tadangam rahasyam, he says. And rahasyam means this upasana, and it is different for each of the sampradayam, and you will only know that when you go into that sampradayam, right? So, if you want to understand the upasana, then you'll only know it when you go into that sampradayam and practicing that. And so that rahasyam or the process of upasana or the method of by which you follow that upasana process is vibhuti, yeah? And in a general category, right? So, wherever if you can get some experience of Krishna in some way, Bhaval Sanidhyam, Krishna's presence, right? That's all his vibhuti. It's all his vibhuti, right? So, what does this vibhuti does? This vibhuti is a big support for our bhava mandalam, what we have to create inside. To develop bhakti inside, the mind has to give way and you have to create a world inside of devotion to Krishna. Bhava mandalam, and bhava mandalam depends on the vibhudis of this world. It takes shelter of these vibhudis, and even our knowledge also, right? So, just like they give the example, if you want to light a lamp, you need a lamp, then you need the wick, and you need the oil as well, is it not? And you have all these things, then only you can light the lamp, right? So, the knowledge is like the lamp. Knowledge is like the lamp. And, so the wick and then the oil, all these things together, it is like this. Upasana is like that. When all these things comes together, you are actually creating a favorable situation for the lamp to light. When you're bringing the oil into it, the wick into it, and the lamp there, when they all come together, the lamp comes, proper lamp comes, isn't it? Light comes. So, actually what you are doing is, you are creating a favorable situation for the fire to stay, for the lamp to burn. Yeah?
So when you do that, creating these circumstances, right, a favorable circumstances for that, that favorable circumstances is your upasana. You see, you know, deity worship is like that, isn't it? You are bringing, the form is there, you are dressing the deities, and then you are bringing the offerings to the deity, you are lighting the lamp, you are lighting the incense, camphor, garlands, so many things. You are bringing them all them together. For what purpose? To create an environment for you favorable for bhakti. Upasana for bhakti, right? And that favorable situation is called upasana. Upasana, right? So, similarly, chanting the holy name is also upasana. It is, you are adding into the bhakti through the chanting the holy name. You have arranged everything for the deity worship based on the shastram. And then you created an environment, and then you are absorbing in that with the holy name. You are chanting the holy name while doing the deity worship, right? So, nama japam or chanting the holy name is an upasana in that way. Bhakti is upasana, right? So, in order to do all that, you require a ashram, shelter, or a kind of, something supporting all these things, like the deities inside in the temple, or a powerful personality who will give you as a alambam. Alambam means that something to depend on, right? So, Krishna is saying, this alambam, or of something on which you are going to depend on for your upasana and bhakti, and that is called vibhuti. That's called vibhuti, right? So, you can see that in the Krishna, he says, how Krishna puts that. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Bhuya Eva Mahabaho, Shrinume Paramam Vacha, Yateham Priyamanaya, Vachyami Hitakam Yayam. Said, Krishna said that, calls Arjuna as Mahabaho and says to him, Mahabaho. Why is he used the word Mahabaho? Krishna will call Arjuna by different names at different times. Here he calls it as Mahabaho. Mahabaho means, why he said that was, Bahu in sky, hands, right? We do karma with the hands normally. You see, not all karma is done with the hands, right? And if you have hands, it means you are doing karma. The symptom of a person who is doing karma is that he has got hands, right? So it is there in Vedam, spoken like that. Sri Rudram also says that. And Krishna also said here in the same way, because with your hands only you get things done. Is it not? With the hands. We will solve like this, and people who have done big things in this world, you need power, and power is through the hands it comes. A powerful personality he becomes. It's not that physical power, what it means is that the person is very capable in doing things. Strength, right? And people have done big things in this world and successfully achieved many big things in this world. But even if you have done all these things, there is a simple thing which is still left out. What is that? They still have not become peaceful inside. No shanti inside. They have done big things in this world, but no shanti inside. Right? Right. many big people you will see in this world who have done big things in our estimation. Ultimately they will say, in the course of events, I lost my peace of mind. They will say like this. You can see that it has happened with big politicians, businessmen and celebrities and all. You, if you look in the, if you read the news, you will see people expressing their state of mind. I can give you so many examples. Michael Jackson, Clint Eastwood, these are all the Western examples I'm saying. What they are saying now, they have made so much money and they're feeling empty now in life. They're feeling empty. And they're saying what to do with all this money. Some of them are giving so much in charity. You're not talking about 1 million, 2 million. Hundreds of millions of dollars are given in charity. Because feeling this emptiness inside. They didn't know what to do. Money they have made, because prarabdham has brought them like that money. And they didn't spend it all these years. Now they are in their late 80s and 90s. And they did not know what to do with it, with that wealth. So then somebody will, they've got attracted to some kind of social service. Somebody is giving money for AIDS research, cancer research, things like that. There are so many things going on. And that is how all these foundations also comes. Blair Foundation and Obama Foundation and Carter Foundation and all this. All these people, they have made money, but they didn't have that shant peace inside. They didn't get the peace at the end of life. They did big, big things in this world, succeeded in their field of life, but at the end of life, they're not feeling peaceful inside. So then they realize it, that they need peace in life, shanti. And that is the goal of life, not all this money what you have made. And that is why you can see Sashanti Madhi Gacchari, Krishna keeps talking about this shanti. If you haven't reached that shanti state, that means your life was a failure. If you didn't get that shanti in life, life is a failure as far as Krishna is concerned. So, so they ran around all over the world, did big, big things, but shanti was not there. So in the olden days, this principle was known to them. So they would not go all around the world. They will live in one place where they were born, right? And they'll keep their anushtanam very strong, daily spiritual activities strong. They will eat what food is available locally, and they will do spiritual activities they will do, because their goal was to get the shanti in life, not to acquire a lot of wealth, right? So, if I became very famous in this world, a lot of people came to know about me, what does it matter? What is going to make life different? Does it make anything different? They will talk about you for a while and then they'll be forgotten, you'll be forgotten. Everything will be gone, right? It's all useless, all these things, this name, fame in life and all these things. Say 100,000 people talks about you and they say that, they tell you that you are one of the top 500 people, important people who are influencing the world. Stupid things like this. And our people are falling for all these kind of things. Ridiculous this is. And if this is the understanding of bhakti, heaven help us. If this is the understanding, right? So whole world talks about you. Krishna says you couldn't save yourself. You didn't realize the truth yourself. And all these thousand million people have spoken about you. What good is it? You're gone and become another dog in the next life. What is the great thing about it? That is Krishna's point. You know why I'm saying this? Because it is like that now. Things have gone so far out of line. People are thinking becoming famous in spiritual life, in bhakti, to become a whole world should know I'm a great devotee, I'm a great personality. This is driving them in spiritual life. And this is very sad, pathetic this is, that you have not even understood the basics of spiritual life then. So, the thing is that, if they all talk about me, will I get realize the truth? I won't realize the truth. I am still dying with my body as an identity. And I get my next body after this. So, all these million people spoke about me. What good is it? At the end of it, I have lost it. I didn't get the benefit for body for which I have been given this body. I didn't get the benefit, right? Or the bliss of life of Atma Anandam, Atma self-realization. What Krishna is saying to us all the time, I have given this body to you to realize the truth. Not for getting glorified by the world. Not for that purpose, right? So, people are thinking that this fame and name and attainment is very important. four people talk about you big, such a great soul he is, right? And they're thinking that that this is a very important thing in spiritual life. These people who are doing this, I'm saying, right? Actually, it is a kind of punishment. It's a kind of punishment, right? Because this is not the way to attain the Shanti, what Krishna is talking about, right? You can get everything in this world, even conquer a lot of things in this world. Acharya Swami says, tatakyam, 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 tatakyam. If you read the Guru Ashtakam, he will say, what use, what use, what use? All these things, what use, yeah? So that is realization. To understand this world in its proper way, to have that knowledge inside, this is all a waste at the end. If others have glorified you, if you don't have the Shanti, what Krishna talks about, very important word that, Shanti. Why do they have rishis when they begin the Upanishad says, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti is the goal of life. So that when you quit this body in a peaceful state, you don't come back. With that Shanti. Brahma Nirvana Murchari, what he is saying, that is that Shanti state. So, if that Shanti or the bliss that you are not having it inside, all these things, what use it there? What good is it? Isn't it? You studied a lot of books, but there is no Shanti inside. What is the benefit? And that is why, when Krishna spoke about Janma Mrti Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshana Darshanam. He says, this is what should be driving your life, not name and fame. This Janma Mrti Jaravyadi should be the four things that should be driving you in your life all the way through. So that from that you get the motivation to realize the truth, Shanti. Instead, if you depend on all these kind of things, name and fame and things like that, Acharya Swamiji also said exactly the same thing. He said, Nahi nahi rakshati dukranya karane. He said, is it not? In Bhajagovindam, the first verse itself, he even ridiculed the education. He says to that Brahmana who was studying Shastram, he says to him that, what good is this education at the end if there is no Shanti inside? So he was saying to him, normally people will say eshanatrayam. Eshanatrayam means you acquire wealth, sense gratification. All these things we are referring to belong to eshanatrayam in life, isn't it? Vitheshana, dareshana, logeshana, putreshana. All this is in another form of this name and fame thing, right? So, Acharya Swamiji didn't say much about that. Instead he said your education itself. He said, this knowledge what you have acquired is also wasted. that will not give you help. Nahi nahi rakshadi, he said, dukranya karane. So, because if you have not developed bhakti, and if you don't have experience of Krishna inside as Antaryami, then all this education is also waste. Nothing has come from that. No benefit has come from that. So therefore, Krishna is saying here, Bhuya eva mahabaho, that hear this again and again, and you will see that the he is repeating this here a lot. He says, Bhuya eva mahabaho shrunume paramam vacha. Hear more and more avarti asakat upadeshaha. In the Vimha Sutram, Vedavyas says here, right? So, in other words, salsangam. It's not enough if you hear one salsangam, it won't help very much. You got to keep hearing till this potency increases inside. That potency of the Shanti increases inside. Shanti has to come. And that is why this salsangam, Krishna is saying, continuously must happen. So, this repetition of many things in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is for this purpose, till the message sinks in a person, right? You can see this is normal system in Vedam. Ayurvedam also has got the same thing. For example, many medicines, they will keep repeating it. Repeating in the sense, there is a medicine called Kshirabala. Kshiram is milk, right? Made from milk.
and they will pour more and more milk into it, and they will keep on making it more and more, how do you call it? Concentration, yeah. Concentration form. So, depending on how many times you repeat it, the medicine becomes very expensive and the medicine also very powerful. For example, this Chirabala, I have seen that in the Vaidyashastra medicinal places. It's available in five times repeated, seven times repeated, 101 times repeated, 1001 times repeated. And 1001 times repeated, in a small bottle like this, it costs a few hundred pounds to buy that. And only one or two drops you have to take it. For example, and it is used in various types of Ayurvedic treatment. Right? For example, when you get paralyzed, this I have seen myself, that's what I'm saying. When you get paralyzed, if your right side is paralyzed, your speech will be affected, your tongue and the face will go into one side more. And at that time, this Ayurvedam says, this 1001 times purified, concentrated Chirabala, only a few days you have to massage it with that, the mouth comes back to its normal position. They're doing that. They've always been doing that. So, but the medicine is very expensive. All you have to do is to use that and on a jackfruit leaf or something, put one or two drops and then rub it with on your face like this and the mouth comes back to its normal position. Otherwise, when the paralysis happens, right side is paralyzed, the tongue will be paralyzed, the mouth will go into one side. You can observe that people have got paralysis, stroke, when the stroke comes, right? So this is the type of things. And similarly with the Salsangam, hearing once is not enough. If you heard once, what happens is the mind will come and interpret everything in a way, and then you won't go anymore after that. You lose interest. This is the problem with the mind, and we have to know this ourselves first, that you have to look, stay away from the mind and observe your own mind, what the mind is doing to you. Whereas if you surrender to the mind straight away, mind will give its opinion. And this is the problem with the mind, and it will take you in another direction. You will start evaluating what you heard, this is correct or not, is this helping me in spiritual life, something will come like that from inside, right? So therefore you will see in Vedic tradition, it is followed, this process, repetition. Repetition is a part of Vedic traditions. Continuously repeating things till it gets established inside. Yeah. So, Ramachandra says this, or Vasishtha says this to Ramachandra in Yoga Vasishtha about this repetition thing, right? he says there, as long as you are working in this world, this repetition is a necessity, right? Vasishtha says, if you get this association with Mahatmas, great personalities, you will get the technique by which you can get out of this material existence. And Ramachandra says this, the reason why he went to all the rishis in the forest is for this reason. Ramachandra was looking for Salsangam, is it not? You know in Ramayanam. He is looking for Salsangam all the time. And he is going from one rishi to another rishi, ashram. Going and meeting them there, Agastya, Bharadwaja, Atri, a number of great Agastya, all different great personalities, he is having Salsangam with that. And he is saying to Lakshmana, Lakshmana, I won't get this in Ayodhya if I sit there. And therefore he was going to them. To stress this importance of Salsangam. Same thing Krishna is going to talk about in the Bhagavatam also, in the 12th chapter, right? So, their point is, if you will stay in Salsangam, you will gradually build that strength inside. And sometimes you will not capture the first time, but another time you may capture the same thing, what you may have missed it before, right? So, for a ship which is trying to cross over the ocean of material existence, right, you will get something to hold on to, and that is Salsangam. And Ramachandra was advised by Vasishtha
Rama, you should not stay in any place where satsangam is not available. And not even a day, you should stay in a place where there is no satsangam. Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, it is in the Yoga Vasishtham, you can read that, right? So, adhyatma sadhana, for spiritual life, satsangam is the best support it gets, right? Without satsangam, japam, dhyanam, and jnana margam or bhakti margam, all these things will be very difficult, right? Satsangam is not just lecture only, right? Then you able to associate with Krishna through Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and see what Krishna is saying to us, where Krishna is coming from, right? And a contact is required with the Shastram and with great personalities if you get that opportunity, right? So there they will say, sometimes if you are with the great personalities, that is satsangam, sometimes they may criticize you, chastise you heavily. And even if they speak to you mundane matters, it is still satsangam. If they speak to you on mundane matters, worldly topics, even then it is considered to be satsangam. So therefore, satsangam is very favorable for this. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Bhuya eva mahabaho. Bhuya eva, right? Shrunu. Listen to my words, Krishna is saying. Listen to my words very carefully. And then he talks about what is this words coming from. So that first verse itself, we have to look at it again, a little bit more tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. In the name of Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada.